Hey, what's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host, of course, is Thomas Strands, who also covers the team for The Athletic. Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. We're live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, and it is a very, very newsy day around the Vancouver Canucks, so I'm not even going to do any of our patented banter with you,
Dreiser. No small talk.
Instead,
only.
I'm going to go right to the whiteboard. Caught our producers off guard there.
Right to the whiteboard.
There we go.
Big, weighty news day, guys. Let's focus up.
Yeah.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, November 19th. Headlines, and of course, usually we lead this segment off with the result from last night's game, teeing up tonight's game, but of course, the headline today is JT Miller taking an indefinite leave of absence from the team for personal reasons. I'll read the statement here from the Vancouver Canucks when they announced it earlier this morning. Vancouver Canucks general manager Patrick Alvin announced today that forward JT Miller will be taking an indefinite leave of absence from the team for personal reasons. And the quote from Alvin is, "Right now, our sole focus is making sure that JT knows the entire organization is here to support him," said Alvin. "Out of respect to JT, we will have no further comment at this time." And of course, whenever you hear leave for personal reasons, your first thought is always you hope the player will be okay as a person. You hope everything with the family is okay, right? That's 100%. Always where your mind goes to first. And certainly that's true here. You know, I will add there's been a little bit of reporting beyond what was included in the statement today from our friend Rick Dhaliwal, as well as Post Media's Patrick Johnston. Post Media's Patrick Johnston said on Blue Sky, "I've been told that JT Miller's personal leave is not related to substance or alcohol abuse or anything at all like that. It's about giving the player a chance to reset himself mentally." He adds, "We know he is obsessed with competing at 100%. We can see he hasn't been. That's been weighing on him." Rick Dhaliwal echoing, "JT Miller leave is about a player who needs a reset, needs time and space." So that's a little bit of extra detail, but not a lot, obviously. And I mean, this is the Canucks news that's kind of caught me most off guard in a long time, right? Like, this is a massive, massive headline, a massive deal, indefinite. We'll hear from Rick Tockett, right? But the role he plays on this team, we all know how important it is.
Absolutely. And Tockett's commentary includes a call not to speculate. Obviously, if you're in online spaces, that's going to be rampant. However, let's hear from Rick Tockett describing at greater length sort of the Miller absence here.
Well, it's just, you know, you read the statement. It's, you know, it's indefinite in the sense we don't know how long. You know, respect the privacy of Millsy. It's got nothing to do with the, don't speculate, please, guys. It's nothing to do with the benching. So I appreciate not the speculation. And, you know, he's a family member here. We're going to support him.
Can you feel that there was some stuff weighing on him during the last little bit here?
Listen, Millsy is his worst critic. The guy wears the heart on his sleeve. He's our FU. Like, he's the guy that is an emotional leader. So, he takes upon himself to do it every night, and it's hard to do. So, no, I thought, just like last year, he's a big part of the team. Since I've been here, he's unreal, played great hockey. Like, I'm lucky to have him.
Rick, did this catch you off guard?
What's that?
Did JT's leave catch you off guard in your
organization? I mean, anytime something like that happens, was it off guard? You just deal with things. You know, that's what we do. We're hockey players. We're hockey coaches. You deal with certain things. You know, Garland might have a baby today, so whether he plays tonight, we'll deal with it. It's, you know, things that come up during the season that you deal with.
To help avoid any speculation, can you just clarify, is this a team-related leave, or is this the league and the Players Association?
I mean, like I said, just read the statement. I mean, I'm not going to get into it, honestly, but I respect the question, but yeah.
Did he come to you saying that he needed a break?
What's that? Like, we talked yesterday.
Yeah. How would you describe your relationship?
I would ask him, but great. He's played his best. He's played great for me. I'm lucky to have him.
That is Rick Tocchet with a little bit of commentary on the JT Miller leave of absence.
Yeah, and of course, declining to discuss the question from, I believe it was Jeff Patterson there, about the NHL, NHLPA player assistance program. We do see these 4 or 5 times a year mm-hmm. across the league. They're relatively common. And when you go into the player assistance program, it tends to be a joint release with the PA and the league, which this, of course, was not. And you tend to get a roster spot. So there are sort of mechanical implications of that.
Mm-hmm.
Club obviously declining to confirm anything beyond the statement that they issued. So it's hard for us a little bit to get into what this means hockey-wise for the Canucks. I mean, obviously we can... JT Miller leaves a gaping hole in the lineup. We're mostly concerned with his well-being at this yep. point and the well-being of his family, of course, but it is a little difficult to pivot. We don't know exactly what sort of flexibility the Canucks will have here. They did call up Archdeep Baines today, but...
They sent down Elias Patterson as well.
So that doesn't provide us any indication either. Club obviously about to head off on a 6-game road trip. I did see that Patrick Johnston also reported that JT Miller won't be making that trip over at Post Media. So that's sort of where we're at and what we know at this point. Obviously, all thoughts with JT Miller and his family. That's clearly the priority for the hockey club, as it is for our program.
Yeah, and I mean, that's an interesting further update from Patrick Johnston, right? Because that's 7 games and 2 weeks at least out of the lineup for JT Miller. And, you know, as we kind of pivot a little bit to more of the hockey side of things and starting with tonight's matchup against the Rangers, I mean, right now that's 2/3 of your top line out of the lineup in JT Miller and Brock Besser, in addition to Thatcher Demko
and
Connor Garland potentially
Connor
being
Garland,
absent,
yeah.
albeit for very happy reasons with his wife potentially expecting a baby today.
That's a Vezina nominee, your top forward, and a 40-goal scorer,
yep.
plus one of your key 5-on-5 engines up front that may be out of the lineup tonight against the New York Rangers. A tough spot for a team that has been listing anyway going into tonight, plus... You know, playing through the emotional toll of mm-hmm. the news today, a really tough spot for the Canucks against a very good team.
Yeah, and, you know, tonight, a challenge, an absence of any significance, and it was our colleague Dan Riccio who pointed this out on Twitter. Since he's joined the Canucks, Miller has played 381 out of 388 games, right? And I know, as you've pointed out, like a bunch of those absences were COVID-related.
There were the two COVID absences where he was an asymptomatic positive mm-hmm. at the start of that 2021 season. The third was that game 82 last year mm-hmm. where he was held out of Winnipeg. So like 3 of them were well outside his control.
And there's never been an extended stretch.
And he like flew to Calgary in like a charter yes. jet to rejoin the team the yeah. moment that protocol expired.
So, it really is beyond the nature of the absence. Just the fact of the absence is uncharted territory for this team,
yes.
right? They've never had to adjust for not having JT Miller in the lineup for a significant portion of time, right? And it's amplified by the fact that they're also missing Brock Besser. It's amplified by the fact that they're playing a really good New York Rangers team to start things tonight and to end this homestand. But this is going to be a fascinating test for the rest of the players. I mean, Elias Pettersson certainly majorly in the spotlight now, right? And I know, you know, a lot of fans have liked what they've seen in recent games, but the onus on him to step up and play a larger role and really drive things is going to be huge. The focus is going to be on the coaching staff as well, how they adjust, what they do with the lineup. We can get more into the setup at Morning Skate today in a second here, but how they are able to guide the team through this. And again, as you said, coming, you know, while the team already playing a little bit of listless hockey here, this is a major, major challenge for everyone in the organization to step up and try to do their best while JT Miller is indefinitely away from the team.
Yeah, look, JT Miller does everything for this team. Right? Tocchet focused on the way that he mm-hmm. sort of bangs the drum and is the team's quote-unquote FU. Yeah.
A lot of FU talk today.
You're right.
It came up a lot.
But, I mean, just from a hockey perspective, I mean, even beyond the drag guys into the fight stuff that mm-hmm. Miller obviously brings and that's resonated so significantly in this market, you're talking about the guy who takes, like, every key draw for the team. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the guy who whose face-off move, by the way, works... like best on its weak side. So he's also kind of the team's de facto right-handed face-off guy. Power play, This club's power play has been at its best when it's when it runs through JT Miller as much as possible. Five-on-five, first-choice matchup guy. Usually sort of self-matched with Quinn Hughes and Philip Hronek on sort of what we think of as the tip of the spear of this Canucks attack. Not to mention sort of the first-choice matchup guy, especially on home ice, especially against a deep, dangerous team like the New York Rangers, and then also kills penalties. I mean, there's no phase of the game that's not impacted by JT Miller's presence. So, you know, there are shoes to fill, and then there are, like, longboats. And these are longboats.
Yeah, it's a massive, massive absence. Look, as more comes out, of course, we will update you with it, but... You know, you heard from Rick Tocchet there. Obviously, they want to do what they can to limit speculation. We completely understand that. So that's the information as we understand it right now. If anything else does come up, we'll, of course, get that to you as quickly as we can. And, yeah, to focus in on the game a little bit, I mean, wrapping up a six-game homestand here against a very, very good New York Rangers team, you need a win just to go 500 on the homestand. I mean, man, what a boost and a lift I think it would be for this team, given the news of today, to get a win under your belts. And, you know, I was saying yesterday, like, man, they could really use a statement win, a signature win over a good team. At this point, man, if you find a way to get 2 points tonight, I don't care what it looks like. That's an incredible accomplishment. And that's a big deal for the team before they go out on the road for six games after this. And, you know, the Rangers... they're doing a lot of Rangers stuff, right? They're getting excellent goaltending from both Shesterkin and Jonathan Quick, actually, this year so far. They've got elite special teams, and they've got a bunch of really, really good players that can hurt you with their skill up and down the lineup.
Yeah, and in some ways, it feels like both the Canucks-Rangers games last year were like signature games for the Canucks. You had the Canucks losing in overtime but hanging tough against the Rangers at home ice early in the season after they'd sort of walloped the Predators and the Blues. It felt like a moment where, against a top team, they could still do it. We maybe still had questions at the time of that game about the quality level of this team. Can they do it against the good teams?
Yep.
That sort of thing. And they answered that, and it felt like an important moment, even though it was an OTL. And then we all remember the January show that the Canucks put on with Pettersson, Besser and Miller just kind of dunking on the Rangers time after time after time. You mentioned that the Rangers have elite special teams. The power play, we almost need a word above elite to discuss this Rangers power play. Like, this Rangers power play is probably the best in the league. I know, you know, in terms of what the team stats say, they're not like number one in conversion rate, but in terms of the quality that they generate, in terms of the stability that they've had as a five-man unit for multiple years, the way that they know how to read off each other, the way that they know how to take whatever you want to take away from the Rangers power play, they're comfortable with that, and they'll take what you're giving them. They are the most well-oiled five-on-four machine in the league. Like, you absolutely have to stay out of the box against this Rangers team, especially because Vancouver's penalty killing hasn't been trending in a particularly good direction the last week and a half. That is like point number one. I mean, the defensive depth they have, Shesterkin, their structure, Lafreniere and Panarin, and some of the cool things that they're able to do together, all of that is scary. Their power play, however, is their atom bomb.
Yeah.
You know, that's the noisy cricket in the weapons chamber, the armory.
That's a good reference. Thanks. I like that one. I like that more than the SpongeBob one.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate
you're
that.
You're more of Men in Black.
Men
guy.
In Black. What a banger that was back in the day. Loved Men in Black. All right, to the lineup notes for the whiteboard, and there's a lot to get into in this section today. A lot of movement, some injury updates, players not at morning skate. So we'll start with the roster moves. Arshdeep Bains recalled from Abbotsford. A defenseman, Elias Pettersson, sent down to Abbotsford. And of course, Pettersson was up just really as a precautionary measure. Vincent Desharnais not available for the last couple of games, so they called Pettersson up just to make sure they'd have the six healthy defensemen. Bains getting recalled makes sense with them losing a forward in JT Miller. I wondered if it might be Neil Zaman, of course, to shore up the center depth a little bit, but as things stand, the centers on the roster are Pettersson, Bluger, Suter, and Ratu. As we mentioned, Connor Garland not at morning skate today because his wife is expecting a baby. So congratulations to the Garlands, and also
little ray of sunshine on a tough day.
Absolutely, but also, you know, his availability for tonight, I guess, up in the air as well against the New York Rangers. And then, as Batch said, he was at morning skate. He said, you know, with Garland not there, hard to get a real read on what we might expect to see against the Rangers. But Batch's best guess was Pettersson sticking with Jake DeBrusk and Kiefer Sherwood. Pugh Suter skating between Dakota Joshua and likely Connor Garland, but again, he wasn't there, so it's just a guess.
That was a line that worked really well in the first half of the year, but were super snake bit. Remember, they had dream underlying numbers for like a 20-game stretch, but only really scored in that one Seattle game, and it was after Suter got hurt and Blueger took his spot.
Everything started going in.
All the bounces started coming. Like, Blueger was, what, like 20 points in 20 games for a stretch, but I wouldn't read the lack of offense that line generated with Suter as being indicative of a lack of chemistry on that trio. In fact, I think Suter's a more dynamic offensive contributor than Blueger. Like, there should be an offensive ceiling above and beyond with Suter in that hole than with Blueger. That line could be really good once Garland gets back, whether it's, you know, tonight or later on this road trip.
Yeah.
That line could be really good. Hoglander apparently took turns with them, however, in Garland's absence. So it could be Joshua, Suter, and then Hoglander trying to do his best Connor Garland
impersonation. Yep.
Which, you know, not a huge stretch.
No.
I mean, I think Garland's probably, not probably, Garland's a better passer and a better battle winner along the wall and better defensively. But Hoglander's faster and has some finish. That line might need some finish. Without Blueger there. So anyway, that line could be pretty interesting tonight. Will be interesting to watch for sure.
Blueger with Danton Heinen and Lekkermäki on the third line. So, you know, with you're just really trying to cobble things together, right? With no Miller, no Besser, the first line kind of goes poof, and now Lekkermäki finds himself with Blueger and Heinen.
Well, and so if Garland doesn't play, do they have the 12th forward? The answer is no.
No.
So we may have to see them go 11-7, something that Tocchet indicated he doesn't like to do.
And that's... Do we get an update on Desharnais from Tocchet? Is Desharnais healthy and ready to go now?
Well,
if they send Elias Pettersson down, it would... But then
they
did that to call up Arshdeep Bains. So could we just see 11-6?
Yeah, I mean, it seems possible.
So...
We'll see tonight. We'll learn more at warm-ups. This is obviously one where I'll have to get to the rink early. But the... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It looks like without Garland, they may be short of forward. And then with Desharnais' status kind of up in the air and no extra bodies on the roster beyond that, and we don't know if they have an extra roster spot with Miller on leave. Yeah, I mean, it could be some crunchy decisions for Rick Tocchet and company tonight going into this game against the Rangers.
And if Garland is able to go, it looks like it would be a Bains, Ratu, Hoglander fourth line for the Canucks tonight. Defense pairs unchanged, so expect to see Hughes, Hronek, Susie Myers, and Brännström and Juulsen, and then we'll wait to see about Vincent Desharnais' status for tonight as well. Interesting note in the crease, Archer Shelovs gets his second start in three games, and a big test, I think a big vote of confidence for Archer Shelovs, finally getting his, you know, we didn't talk about this on the show yesterday because there was so much to get into, but finally getting his first win and first solid performance of the season against Chicago.
Batch, loyal listener, texts in to note that Tocchet didn't have an update on Desharnais. So
thank you, Batch.
Yeah, so
look at
that. So we'll have to see.
All right, so we'll wait and see on that. But anyways, Archer Shelovs getting another start tonight against a really good Rangers team, and this is more of a back burner issue now with everything else going on around the team, but I think an opportunity here to rebuild a little bit of Shelovs' confidence with the potential imminent return, and that's Darren Dreger's words yesterday, right, of Thatcher Demko. Who knows how long Shelovs is going to remain in the NHL, but he gets his first win of the season against Chicago on the weekend. Now he gets another chance in the crease tonight against the New York Rangers.
Yeah, and that's a tough opponent, right? This is a tough opponent, a good test.
Yep.
He played solid hockey when last we saw him, so a good opportunity to build off of that, especially because Lankanen's game has faded over the last 10 days. So this is, you know, an opportunity not just for Shelovs to bounce back, but maybe to earn himself an extra start or two, maybe get to the point. And again, hard for us to know because we don't know if the club has a roster spot, but, you know... We talked a lot about the three goalies on the roster plan, right? Window's probably closed on that, but not entirely, right? We don't exactly know when Demko's back. We suspect that he'll return at some point on this road trip, but if Shilovs plays well tonight, could he earn the start against Ottawa? You stack a couple good ones together.
Yep.
Could you make this a conversation again? Absolutely. Things change so quickly when it comes to goaltending especially. But, I mean, any position in the National Hockey League, especially goalies.
Well, and I think we've seen from Tockett, he's willing to ride the hot hand in the crease.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's how Lankinen took over. You even think back to the playoffs last year with Shelovs taking over from Casey DeSmith. So there's an opportunity there for Shelovs if his performance warrants it. The other update, and we did have somebody text in asking about Brock Besser. I understand both Brock Besser and Derek Forbort skated today. So, of course, both currently injured. Besser, I don't believe we've ever gotten official confirmation that he's in protocol. I think Tockett has kind of referenced protocol.
No, he was asked specifically about it, and I think he didn't quite understand what we were getting at, to be totally honest with you. So no, the club has never at any point confirmed or even touched the word head injury or concussion or brain injury in relation to Brock Besser. But the fact that he's skating, if he is in protocol, would imply that that's a meaningful progress. You know, we know what a five-step return to play protocol looks like. Returning to the ice, getting in a dynamic workout. If you're symptom-free the next day, maybe you can rejoin the team in a limited fashion at practice, a non-contact jersey type thing. Symptom-free again, full practice, symptom-free again, might be cleared to play. So still several days and steps away, but stepping on the ice, Brock Besser stepping on the ice is a huge development for this team, provided that he remains symptom-free, if in fact he is in the protocol.
Yeah, big deal for him, and good to see Derek Forbort getting a skate in as well. Derek Forbort has kind of come to the forgotten guy on this roster. I think they could really use him. They could really use him in this lineup, especially with the penalty-killing ability there as well. Not a whole lot to get into in the playoff odds, right? Obviously, the Canucks idle last night, so not going to change from their perspective. But I will say, if you're watching the out-of-town scoreboard for hater reasons, a pretty good night for you last night. Obviously, doesn't affect the Canucks Edmonton and their playoff chances, but the Blue Jackets putting five on the Bruins at home, throwing their season further into turmoil. You like that? Edmonton gets shut out in Montreal. The Dallas Stars, another Western Conference contender, loses 4-2 to the Ducks. So lots to enjoy on the out-of-town scoreboard if you're a hater from last night. A gambling update for us.
Yeah, the odds were down for a while, as you might understand, yes, given all the sort of uncertainty in the Canucks lineup going into tonight's game. They are back up, however, and the Canucks, who were, so before this, the Rangers were narrowly favored. They were minus 115. The Canucks were minus 105. We'd call that a pick 'em.
Mm-hmm.
The Canucks are now at plus 110, home underdogs tonight against the Rangers, given the uncertainty in their lineup. Rangers minus 130. The over-under set at 6 with steam on the over, minus 120 on the over, plus 100 on the under. Markets expecting goals tonight.
Mm-hmm. Do we know who's starting in net for the Rangers?
Not quite, but I would expect Shesterkin.
Shesterkin, yeah. Not overwhelming underdogs. I mean, I've seen a lot of people write off this game already, but it's hockey. It's one game. Lots of weird stuff can happen.
Yeah, Shesterkin is confirmed per my colleague at The Athletic, Peter Baugh.
There you go. All right, that's the whiteboard for today. You can keep your text coming in. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. We got a couple of guests coming up here. We'll continue to look ahead to tonight's game and get into the loss of JT Miller, the temporary loss of JT Miller for this team. Landon Ferraro, former NHL player, Sportsnet analyst. He joins us next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.